This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Our words are containers for power, and they can carry positive power, they can add benefit to all the people around us and add benefit to our life, or they can carry negative power that harm us and hurt us. Ephesians 4:29. Lord, help us this afternoon in Jesus' name. Let no foul or polluting language nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it might be a blessing and give grace to all those who hear it, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I believe that the things that we say can bless God and put a smile on his face. Or I do believe that when we say things that are harmful and hurtful to either other people or to ourselves, that it does grieve the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, please realize right now that there's not one of you, there's two of you. Jesus lives on the inside of you, and so you're never alone. And if he's grieved, since he lives in you, you're going to feel, and I'm going to feel, that grief. Now, I don't know what you think, but I've kind of learned by experience that I can increase or decrease my own joy just by how I talk. Anybody agree with that? You can just talk yourself into being miserable, or you can actually help yourself and make yourself better. Now, we were talking at the break about how sad it is that so many people know so little about the power of words, and how their words not only affect the people around them, but how they affect themselves, and also how our words affect our future. I believe that we can kill God's good plan for our life just by continual wrong talking. Now, we all say things that are wrong, and thank God for mercy, and he covers us in our mistakes, and we can be forgiven. But to just be a negative person who always finds the fault and the flaw in everything and always finds what's wrong with people, I mean, it's going to leave you very sour and unhappy, and it's going to really hurt your future. Now, I'm just going to assume that nobody here is like that. But we're just going to call this like an insurance policy today. I just want to preach this message just in case you ever would be tempted to be like that, that maybe you'd remember this. And I was not kidding when I said I was going to preach to myself. You know, I am a talker, and the more people talk, the more likely they are to get into trouble. Sometimes I'm just jealous of those nice, quiet people. Now, I don't know what's going on inside them, and that can also be a huge problem, but God has to deal with me frequently about my words. And I've come a long way, but I'll tell you one thing that I never want to be is so satisfied to the point where I don't think that I need to change anymore. Now, anytime that God shows me a fault or a flaw in my life, it does not condemn me. And I want to encourage you, when God shows you things that are wrong in your life or your behavior, or when he chastises you for something, do not let it condemn you. Conviction from the Holy Spirit is a totally different thing than condemnation from Satan. And a lot of times what we do is when the Holy Spirit convicts us, which is a good and a positive thing, and the Bible says that God chastises those whom he loves. When God shows us that we should not do something or that something we're doing is wrong, it's actually an act of his love. thank God he won't just leave you alone in your mess and let you stay the same. The worst thing that God could ever do would be just never convict us again and just leave us alone and let us stay the way that we are. But it's a big mistake when the Holy Spirit convicts you to then get condemned, because the moment that you get condemned, you hinder yourself from any kind of change or spiritual growth. So anything I say today is not under condemnation. When God deals with me about things like this, I just take it like, well, I must need this. And there's some areas in our life that we will have to hear over and over and over and over until Jesus comes back to get us. And one of those things is our mind, another one is the mouth, and another one is attitude. Come on, you better get a little happier than that. There's nobody in this building today that doesn't need this. Nobody. God's been dealing with me again about my words, and I'm glad that he does, because no man can tame the tongue. We constantly need God's help. And I don't know about you, but just, I said this morning, but I think if I could ever just get through one whole entire day without complaining at all, it would be a miracle equivalent to the parting of the Red Sea. It is amazing how blessed we are and how much we find to murmur about. And it is really, complaining is a sin. I mean, it's not just an oops. It's actually, the Bible says it's a sin. And if you really study the Bible, and this actually put the fear of God in me. If you really study the Bible, you'll find out that one of the things that kept the Israelites out in the wilderness for 40 years trying to make an 11-day journey was they murmured and grumbled and complained about everything. And you know, the word complain means to remain. So the more we complain about something, the longer we're going to stay in that situation. The more we praise God, the quicker we're going to get raised out of that situation and be delivered. And I might add that the place to start praising God and being thankful is when you're still in the middle of your mess. I've noticed that Jonah, if you read the book of Jonah in the Amplified Bible, it says that he started to praise God while he was still in the fish's belly. And I like that. So his bad attitude got him in that situation. But then the thing that got him out was he started praising God while he was still in the situation, and God caused the fish to vomit him out, and he got free from the situation. So whatever you're going through right now, ask God every day, God, help me not to complain about my situation. Help me to find something to be thankful for. Help me find a reason to praise you. And you know, when you're in relationship with people, it is so easy. I am so good at finding flaws. Oh my gosh, if there's one there, I'll see it. Is anybody else like that? Are you one of those sweet people that just like, oh, I didn't notice that? Well, honey, I notice everything. I mean, how many of you are like that? You just, if it's there, you're going to find it. You don't have to, you know. I mean, Dave, he just likes everybody. You know, that's, I mean, I can honestly tell you that in 50 years of being married to him, I think I've heard him say 2 times in 50 years that he didn't like somebody. Yay, Dave. We're so happy for you. And you know, to be honest, I'm sure one of the reasons why the enemy does that to me is because of what I'm doing and how important it is that I walk in love and I have the right attitude toward people. Because let me tell you something, we all need God's anointing, and that's his presence and power in our lives. You don't just need an anointing to preach, you need an anointing to drive in traffic and get to work. These days, you certainly need an anointing to raise kids. And I believe that God's anointing, his presence, and his power in our life is partially, in part, connected to the words of our mouth. And I just think it's a pitiful shame how little people know about this area. You can be in church 30 years and never hear a message like I'm going to preach to you today. I was in church for years, and I never heard anybody say anything to me about the words of my mouth. Nobody talked to me about stuff like that. And maybe there's even people here this afternoon that you're like, this is a first for me. Well, maybe not, but maybe it is. And the thing is, words are containers for power. In the very beginning, God said, and it happened. Now, just like this glass has got some sparkling water in it, it's my glass, and I could put anything on it that I wanted to, in it that I wanted to. I could fill it full of mud if I wanted to. Well, our words are containers for power, and they can carry positive power. They can add benefit to all the people around us and add benefit to our life, or they can carry negative power that harm us and hurt us. And so I can't think of any message that's more important to hear every once in a while than this one right here, because the mouth literally is like a wild animal. No man can tame the tongue. The Bible says it is just like a wicked evil. It starts all kinds of fires. You can ruin relationships with words. You can get yourself fired from a good job with words. You can depress yourself with words. You can make yourself happy with words. The Israelites murmured and grumbled and complained. And the Bible says that eventually they let a plague into the camp, and 23,000 of them fell dead in one day just because of complaining. Now, I'm not saying if you complain, you're going to fall over dead. That's not what I'm saying. Thank God for that. But I do believe, as good as God is to us, that one of the last things in the world that we should do is complain and murmur. Does anybody have a problem with complaining besides me? A handful of people. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you, but now, going all the way back to the beginning of my serious walk with God, and I like to say it like that because I went to church a lot of years before I got serious. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to hear that, or maybe there's somebody watching my television. You just happened across this program and thought you'd stop and see what I thought I was doing. And, you know, maybe you believe in God. You go to church, but are you serious? I mean, really committed? Are you attached to Jesus or committed to Jesus? There's a difference. And if you're really serious in your relationship with God, then you really want to learn and grow, and you want to do everything that He wants you to do, because the Lord never tells us to do anything if it's not going to be something that's going to make our lives better. And so in my very beginning of my serious walk with God, really, to be honest, before I ever even heard messages about the power of words preached, God started dealing with me as I studied the Bible about being negative. I had grown up in a very negative atmosphere. My father was abusive. He was alcoholic. He was violent. And he just was negative. He just didn't like anybody. He didn't trust anybody. And so just the whole atmosphere in our home was one of negativity. And when you grow up in that, listen, I'm still amazed at how our lives are affected by the first few years of our life. The way we're raised, and that's not saying that we can't overcome it, because in Christ we become new creatures, but sometimes you have to spend a lot of years unlearning what you learned in the first few years of your life. So we're very vulnerable at that time, and it's like soft clay that's being molded. And so many times parents do things to children out of their own weaknesses and faults that then takes those kids, as they become adults, many, many years to try to correct and get over. And I'm sure many of you have found that just like I have. Well, first of all, I didn't even know I was negative. I didn't even know that I was like that. You know, when you are a certain way and that's the way you've always been, you don't even know that you're that way. Well, Dave, on the other hand, is extremely positive. And so we were not married very long, just a few weeks. And he looked at me one day and he said, "What is wrong with you?" Now, I tell all the time, and you've probably heard me say this, you know, Dave and I only had 5 dates, and he asked me to marry him. And which normally would not be wise, but in our case, I really feel like that if he wouldn't have done it quick, he wouldn't have done it at all. Because I was on my good behavior, but you know, that only lasts so long. And I'm sure before long I would have caved in and he would have thought, oh no, I ain't getting into this. And so he just said to me, what is wrong with you? And I remember to this day what I said to him. I said, if you don't expect anything good to happen, you won't be disappointed when it don't. So I had a bad case of negativity. And I want to share that with you, because if you're like that, please don't just say, well, that's just the way I am. Because we are new creatures in Christ, and we do have a new nature, and we can become Christ-like, and God will help us do that. So God really started dealing with me about not being so negative. And so I really was working with the Holy Spirit, and I felt like I was really doing good, and I felt like that I wasn't saying negative things like I once did, but I didn't feel like anything was changing in my life. And I'm a person who really likes results. I mean, I'll stick with anything if I see a little bit of results, but if I don't get any results, then sometimes I want to throw it away pretty quick. And so I just said, now, Lord, I'm really not being negative. I'm not saying negative things, but I don't see anything changing, and I don't understand why. And I did not know enough to know this, so I know God put this in my heart. He said, well, you've stopped saying negative things, but you haven't started saying anything positive. So I don't really want to just stand here and talk to you all day today about what you shouldn't say. I want to talk to you about what you should say and how you can help yourself and benefit yourself by saying positive things. Well, all the way back then, and you know, I've written, I think, 3 books on the mouth. First one was called Me and My Big Mouth, which was not a good book to buy as a secret gift for a friend and send it to him. We actually had some people call the ministry and want us to, well, they wanted to buy that book and have us send it to somebody they knew anonymously. I love the title of that book. And then I wrote one called Change Your Words, Change Your Life. And I think we've got a little book called Power Words. Well, in my first book, Me and My Big Mouth, and it may be in the second one, there's a list of 65 things that God had me start to confess out loud every day. Matter of fact, I did it twice a day for 6 months, every day at that time in my life. So this has been 42 years ago. Very negative. You need to start saying things that are positive. And so God taught me by the Holy Spirit how to start confessing the word of God out loud and calling things that were not yet a reality in my life as if they already existed. Now, just in case you're going to say, oh, don't tell me this is a name it, claim it message. The whole point is in Romans 4:17, the Bible says that we serve a God who calls things that do not exist as if they already existed, and he speaks life to dead things and they come back to life. So that's how powerful your words are. You can speak life into dead circumstances in your life, and you can see the resurrection of power of God in your life. Now, you can't just say anything you want to say and make it happen, but you can speak the word of God out loud, and those words have power. You know, there's a scripture that says that angels hearken to the voice of God's word. They don't listen to our complaining, but they have to listen to the word of God. And we have angels that are assigned to us. You know, you have guardian angels. We have angels assigned to us. And if you want them to work in your life, then you need to start agreeing with what God says and stop just saying any little thing that floats through your brain. I'm getting some funny looks. It's like Mike's wife, Penny, we've known them for, I don't know, 35 years, I guess. And she's been sitting under my teaching for how long? Over 30 years. And probably more than anybody I know, whatever I said to do, Penny went and did it. And we were talking about this message, and I said, she said, I still remember when you first started teaching about the mouth and the power of words and the power of confessing the word of God out loud. And she said, I remember you told us to write scriptures out on 3x5 cards and carry them with us. And anytime we had an opportunity, just to confess those things out loud over our life. Now, you know, she's working, mentoring a couple of young girls, and one of them said, well, I just feel silly doing that. Well, you know what? You don't have any trouble complaining out loud. You don't have any trouble gossiping out loud. So why do we have such a hard time confessing the word of God out loud? Well, because Satan doesn't want us to do it. You say, well, why do I have to confess it out loud? Because words contain power. What kind of a message, what kind of a meeting would this be today if you all came and I said, well, I'm not going to say anything. You know, you came because you wanted to hear what I was going to say. You wanted to hear what God was going to speak to you through me. And it's the words that are bringing the power of God to you. And when that, it renews your mind, and then it gets down into your life and it begins to change things in your life. God's word contains power. There's power inherent in the word of God. So when you speak the word of God over your life or over your children's life or over their futures, one of the things that I started saying when my kids were all little was, all of my children grow up and they marry born-again, spirit-filled men and women, and they all serve God all of their life. And you know, every one of my children are married to somebody that loves God. They're all in some way, shape, or form serving God in ministry. That makes a lot more sense than saying, oh, I'm so afraid my kids are going to fall away from God. I'm so afraid they're going to marry the wrong person. I'm so afraid my kids are going to get addicted to drugs. Let me tell you something. When you're tempted to say stuff like that, just ask God to help you zip your lip. And instead of saying what you feel like saying, say what God's word says. So anyway, I made 65 confessions, and every one of them, I found a scripture to back it up. I'm not advocating that you go around just saying, well, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm the president of the company. That's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you want God's will in your life? Okay, listen, if you want God's will in your life, then you've got to get his will in your mouth. Should I say that again? If you want God's will in your life, then you have to get God's will in your mouth. One of the times that it's the hardest to be positive is when you're upset. Yes, I got a witness out there. When you're frustrated, when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're under pressure, during times of trial and temptation. Now, you may remember that in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 53, talking about Jesus, it says, like a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. I didn't have any idea what that meant until many, many, many years later. And if you look over in John, I think it's chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples right before he was going to go into his greatest time of suffering, he said, the time is coming, it's getting near, and I'm not going to be talking to you much more. Satan hath no part in me, and he was determined he wasn't going to give him an opening. I find that to be extremely interesting, that Jesus knew the importance at that crucial moment in history of him not giving the enemy an opening into his life by beginning to just speak out of his emotions and how he felt. So he said, I'm just going to be quieter now. And boy, is that ever good advice. What do we tell our kids? If you can't say something positive, don't say anything at all. Well, maybe God's trying to say that to some of us today. If you can't say anything positive, then just don't say anything at all. It's better to just be totally quiet than it is to say things that are going to kill your future. Now, and I am not exaggerating when I say this. I'm telling you the absolute truth. I could bring that book up here And I could go over those 65 things. Not one of them was a reality in my life when I started confessing them. And every single one of them is a reality in my life right now. Matthew 12:34 says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil and wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In other words, for it to come out of us, it's got to be in us, floating around in there somewhere. So nothing reveals more about the real us than our words. You can learn so much about yourself by listening to yourself. Ooh. I learned things about myself I would just assume that I wouldn't have known. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. James 3:2. If anyone does not offend in speech, if he never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. My goodness, he's saying if we can control our mouth, we can control everything else in our life. Some of you are trying real hard to control what you put in your mouth. And you might be better off to start first trying to control what comes out of it. Uh-oh, well, I'll just go on. You're not liking that one. Maybe I'll talk to these people over here. See, I can show you a scripture that says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. So I'll just give an example. Let's just say that, how many of you have a problem with sugar? You just eat way too much sugar. Okay. Well, let me give you a hint. Don't say 50 times a week, "I crave sugar. I just have to have sugar. I'm addicted to sugar. If I eat one cookie, I've got to eat the whole bag. If I eat one bite of ice cream, I've got to eat the whole quart." Don't say that kind of stuff, because every time you do, you're just assuring yourself that you're going to keep the problem. What you should say, and I don't care if you have to start with the spoon on your way to your mouth, you start by saying, "I'm not addicted to sugar. I don't crave sweets. I have self-control. I have a disciplined appetite. Now see, if you didn't come for anything other than that, it's going to help you. You say, "Well, I'm just telling the truth." I'm not, yes, that may be a fact in your life, but the truth is greater than facts, and the truth is God's word, and God's word says that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So don't say, "I'm addicted to this, I'm addicted to that, I can't help this, I can't help that." And for goodness sakes, don't ever say, "I just don't have any discipline or self-control." I don't care if you're the laziest person on the planet. I want you to start saying, "I am a man or a woman of discipline and self-control. I can control myself." I started smoking cigarettes when I was 9 years old. I hung around with kids in the neighborhood that were older than me, and they all smoked, so I smoked. And so I smoked up until I was about 35, something around there. And I always said, "Oh, I know I could never quit smoking. It would be so hard for me if I ever tried to quit smoking." Well, sure enough, then when I wanted to quit, it was hard for me. Very hard for me. And one of the things that God led me to do, and here again, this may sound like I'm a lunatic, but I don't care. I'm trying to help you, so I don't care what you think. I remember driving home from work at night with a cigarette between my fingers saying, "I don't smoke. I can't stand to smoke. Cigarettes stink. I don't spend my money on cigarettes." And I'm telling you the honest truth, it was not very many weeks after that and I quit. Now, I'm not telling you that this is just like a little magic charm and you can just say anything you want and get anything you want, but I am telling you that if you want to stop doing something, then you have to stop talking like you can never stop doing it. Amen? Are you sure you're getting this? You're just like, okay. How many of you say bad things about yourself? Ooh, I would like to come out there and shake you. Oh my gosh. One of the worst things that we can do is say negative, downgrading things about ourselves. Let me tell you something. The devil's already against you, and you don't need to agree with him. What you need to do is get into agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? What I'm trying to say to you today is bring your conversation into agreement with God's word instead of just talking out of how you feel and what you think all the time. And I can guarantee you that you will begin to see changes in your life. Now, it may not be overnight, but what happens, what you say runs right along here, gets in your ears, and drops right down into your spirit. And I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute that says we eat our words. You've said to people, you are going to eat those words. Well, the truth is you actually do eat your words. Your words affect you more than anybody else's words affect you. So let's just say that you're living with somebody that's really negative and downgrading, and they're constantly putting you down. And sometimes people will say to me, well, how in the world can I keep a good attitude? How can I not get depressed if I'm living with somebody that puts me down all the time? Well, you know what? It is hard and it's challenging, but you can do two things. You can make sure that you have enough friends that build you up, that it helps to override those negative things. And as soon as somebody says something negative to you, if you can't get them not to say it, you go in another room by yourself and you say what God says about you out loud. No, let's just say you're a woman, you're married to a man, and he tells you 5 times a week you're stupid. Well, you need to go tell yourself 25 times a week that you have the mind of Christ. I like this. This is good today. Because what you say is going to mean more to you than what somebody else says. The thing we do is we just stand around and let everybody else determine our worth and value, and we don't have to do that. Get into agreement with God and you will see amazing things happen in your life. If I do not have one day of my life that goes by that I don't confess the word of God out loud. Every day of my life, I mean every day, I still say, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become brand new. You know why I say that? Because I had such a hard time with guilt and condemnation, and I felt so bad about myself for so many years because of the abuse that my father had perpetrated on me, and I just felt no good. And I tell you what, it was a battle for me to fight my way through to ever believing that I had right standing with God through Christ. And once I got it, I was determined I was never going to lose it, and I continually renew my mind by saying, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. God loves me. I'm his child. I'm accepted. He's pleased with me. Yes, I said God is pleased with you, and there's nothing wrong with you saying that. He may not be pleased with everything you do, but he is pleased with you. Well, we need more time than I've got, don't we? You know, 2 times the Bible records that a voice came out from heaven regarding Jesus and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, no. 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 You know, God's not pleased with you because you've got perfect behavior, but I'll tell you, he's pleased you're here today. Not too many people take a Saturday after they've worked all week and go sit and listen to the word of God. And a lot of you will be back in church again tomorrow, and you were here last night. And God's pleased with you. You may not do everything right, but you know what? You want to do everything right, or you wouldn't even be here. You say, well, wouldn't it be like a wrong kind of pride for me to stand in a room and say, and I'm not suggesting you go say this to somebody else, but wouldn't it be wrong for me just to say God is pleased with me? No, I don't think so. You know why? Because that's what his word says. Thank you. I have a man in agreement, and that's even better. Don't say things like, I'm stupid, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm dumb. I can't do anything right. Don't do that kind of stuff. Don't say negative things about yourself out of your own mouth. Say about you what God says about you, and it won't be long, and you'll see those things. It'll renew your mind. It changes your whole attitude toward yourself, and you'll be amazed. If you just start saying, I am a person of discipline and self-control, you'll be amazed at how just little by little things will begin to change, because really, once your mind is renewed, honey, it's all over but the shouting. Because once you believe you can do what God says you can do, then you will start doing it. Proverbs 18:20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. Go on, everybody say, I eat my words. Here's another one, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer or a talebearer, that's like a gossiper, are as dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. And you know what's interesting that I've found? If somebody comes to me, and I don't know why it is that we love gossip, but I mean, the minute somebody says, have you heard? I mean, it's like everything just comes alive. Ooh, I'm about to find something out. And you can already kind of tell it's not going to be something nice. And there's a part of you that thinks I should just say no and I don't want to hear. But oh no, it's like, no, what? You know what I've discovered? Somebody can tell me something unkind about somebody that I love and admire, and even if I don't want to believe it, once it gets down in me, it can cause me to be suspicious or look at that person in a different light, from that time on. Words go down. We need to be very careful about the things we say to people about other people, because we are poisoning their spirit when we do that. Have you heard? No, and I don't want to. So many great scriptures about the mouth. I love this one. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, and barren. Well, you know what? And please don't take this wrong. When I say a religious person, I'm talking about somebody who maybe goes to church, they have a bumper sticker, they've got a huge Christian library, a big necklace with a cross on it, and they follow all the rules and regulations, but they have no real intimate personal relationship with God. You know, Jesus didn't die so we could all have a religion. He died so we could have an intimate relationship with God through him. Jesus didn't die for us so we could just go to church and go home and never change. It's not about putting in 45 minutes with God on Sunday morning. He wants to do life with you. He wants to be involved in everything that you do. It's about intimacy. And when you start really hanging out with Jesus on a regular basis, that's when you begin to become more and more like him. So he said, if you think you're religious, but you don't bridle your tongue, then you're deceiving yourself. And you know, this sounds awful, but I can remember some of my years as a religious person, And we had our group of friends, you know, we was a social club at church, and we would go to church on Sunday morning. Wouldn't dare miss church on Sunday morning. And we'd go out to lunch with a bunch of our friends after church, and you know what entertainment was? Gossiping about everybody else, including the pastor and his sermon. And don't tell me you don't do it. If you're not careful, some of you will have something to say about me after you leave today. So, but it'll all be good, right? It'll all be good. All good. All right. Come on, have you ever gone to church and then left church and gossiped to some other Christian about somebody you saw in church? Come on, don't you lie. Yeah, and I did too. Well, that grieves the Holy Spirit when we do that. That's not what he wants us to do. So we've got to be sure that we understand that we can't just worship him with our mouth while our hearts are far from him. We learn so much about ourselves by what comes out of our mouth. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Paul told the Corinthian Christians that he knew they were carnal, and he could tell by the way they talked. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. I had to talk to you like mere infants in the new life in Christ. And look what the Amplified says in parentheses here, unable to talk yet. Well, what in the world? I mean, these are grown men. Certainly they can talk. What? I mean, what did Paul mean? You're unable to talk yet. You know what he meant? You don't know how to talk right. You're saying a bunch of stuff that lets me know that you're carnal, immature Christians. Verse 3 says, for as long as you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, as long as you're under the control of ordinary impulses, as long as there is envy and jealousy and strife, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourself like mere unchanged men? I remember when the Lord spoke to me many, many, many years ago, and he said, okay, you're saved. Now it's time for your mouth to get saved. How many of you could use a little salvation in your mouth? All right. I knew that this would be for you today. I picked the right place to preach this message. This will help you. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways, and I've put them aside. How do children talk? Well, two things I'll mention. Number one, they almost always talk about themselves, what they want, what they like, what they need. And number two, they talk way too much. Yeah, amen. There's that guy again. I like him. All right, now, just in case you maybe are wondering if I'm right about this confessing the word out loud thing, I want to take the last little bit of time that I have here, and I want to talk to you about making a complete turnaround today. And instead of continuing to talk about things in your life as if they're always going to be the way they are right now, don't ever say, this is never going to change. You're never going to change. I'm never going to have any money. I'll never own a new car. Don't say that kind of stuff. Say what God says. If you think that what I'm saying is, you're just not sure that it's scriptural, I want us to look at Ezekiel 37, the first 10 verses. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with the word, not if you're smart. Ezekiel the prophet, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. Maybe there's somebody here today and you feel like your life at this point is nothing but a bunch of dead, dry bones. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know. You're the only one that knows." And then again, verse 4, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Come on. "Oh, you dead, dry bones, you miserable, wretched life, you empty bank account, hear the word of the Lord." You gotta love it. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live." In other words, you can look at any circumstance in your life and you can say, you will change. You will change because God is greater than you are. And his word is greater than you are. "And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath or spirit in them." So he didn't just quit and say, "Oh, well, it almost worked. Something happened, but still no life." Then God said to him, "Prophesy to the breath and the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and the spirit, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great and a mighty host. I started out 42 years ago with a notebook and a Bible, and I wrote down 65 things that God's word says were mine through the blood of Christ. Not one of them was a fact in my life at the time, but it was the truth of God's word. I hope in some way, shape, or form, God is using these words of mine to speak a word to you that is so clear. No matter what the facts are in your life, God's word is greater than those facts. Do you hear me? Nobody has got so many dead, dry bones in their life that things can't change. But you're going to have to get this as a truth in your life, and you keep it up, and you keep it up, and you keep it up, and you keep it up until the devil shuts up. Amen. Well, nothing reveals more about our true character than the words that we speak, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's become people who speak life into other people as well as ourselves. Bring your conversation into agreement with God, and you will see amazing things happen in your life. Today, we're offering you a couple of resources that I really want to encourage you to have: the Power of Words, four teachings, and a Power Words book, so you can read, you can listen. You really need to learn the importance of your words. I was in church for many, many years before I ever had anybody teach me that. And this is something that I think it's very important for you to learn, as well as it was important for me. It's important for everybody. So please get these resources today. It's simple, it's practical, but it's powerful. Your words can change your life.